him do this, it was just like, oh, and like, do I play this music? You know, but I think I should, because this is one man's, his way of dealing with the loss of a son. Like, I mean, we all go through death. You know, this is the thing. It's unavoidable. As much as we like to put on that, you know, it doesn't affect us, some of us, and it does. It really does. So, with this, him performing it, of course, it brought back memories of my father. Of course it would. But it does help you deal with things when you see others that are working through it, and you can offer up some positivity to them. That sort of thing. So that's why I'm going to air this. And they're just beautiful covers of his son's music, that sort of thing. I'm pretty sure that I wanted to say something so profound that it would change your perspective, but I just don't think I can. Can anyone? Really at this point? So, live versions of Justin Townsend coming up with some interviews. And of course, the three songs that he covers with this. So, and what were those covers, Mr. Smith? That's right. You're going to hear from Justin Townsend Earl. You'll hear Detroit Rock, Flint City Roll, Graceland, White Gardenias, his favorite song, My Baby Drives, Worried About the Weather, Today, and A Lonely Night, Burning Pictures, and Last Words. From Steve Earle covering Harlem Rhythm Blues, and of course, John Henry.
Hey, welcome to In My Room. I'm Steve Earle. It's actually in my kitchen in New York City. First time I did this, I did it in the house in Fairview, and back last spring, right after the pandemic started. As Joe Healy refers to it. And I, that house I've had for a long time, but this is pretty much home, even though I don't own this place at all. I rent it, but I've been in New York almost 16 years now. And just as soon as I could, I got out of there, because New York seemed like scary at the beginning of the whole thing, but the worst place to be, and now it's kind of the best place to be. And I needed to get my youngest son, John Henry, back in school. And I was almost out of there. And then we lost Justin at the end of August. And, as if 2020 hadn't been bad enough for everybody. No trouble figuring out what the worst year of my life is. And that's saying something. I've kind of done some self-inflicted stuff that I've had some bad years in my life. But the only thing that I needed to do was to make a record. And I don't... People have asked me, like they said, that must have been incredibly hard to do. And the truth is, I think the best I've been since this happened was when we were actually making the record. And I don't know how to explain it. I guess it's just what I do. And it's just a way for me. And cathartic, I don't know whether that's the word for it. I think it's just a way for me to say goodbye and a way for me to make sure that I was giving him his due, because we do the same thing. Just like every other record I made this record for me. And it's dedicated to Justin and his memory, but it happened because I needed to do it. So Justin, I was always jealous of the fact that Justin had a John Henry song and I didn't, and I corrected that on my last record. I wrote a song called John Henry's a Steel Driving Man. And it is not an accident that the guitar riff is it's his guitar riff turned inside out is basically what mine is. And I did that on purpose. It wasn't a coincidence or an accident. It was conscious imitation of my son. And, cause he was really good and really good guitar player. So, this is Justin's, They Killed John Henry. He lay looking at the sun. He said, Lord, take me now, my work is done.
done, Lord, Lord. Lord, take me now, my work is done. If when they laid him out in that box of pine, they laid that hammer by his side, Lord, Lord. They laid that hammer by his side. Any job he could find, boy, he'd rake your leaves and pick your vine, Lord, Lord. He'd rake your leaves and pick your vine. And they killed Joe Hill, put a bullet to his name, but that bullet made a martyr of the same, Lord, Lord. Bullet made a martyr of the same. Now my granddaddy worked his whole damn life, but he never saved a nickel, but he tried, Lord, Lord. Never saved a nickel, though he tried. He died in Tennessee, but he couldn't find no rest, with a long road to Texas line ahead, Lord, Lord. Long road to Texas line ahead. Hey. To see a long life of working and you're dead, Lord, Lord. Long life of working and you're dead. They killed John Henry. They killed John Henry. They killed John Henry, but they won't kill me. They killed John Henry. They killed John Henry. They killed John Henry, but they won't.
They killed John Henry, Justin Towns, Earl. I was very, I was jealous, but I was also very proud. Also very proud when I saw Justin on national television for the first time doing this song that we did on national television just the other night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. And it kind of put me in mind that it was a day before his birthday, actually. We released this record on his birthday that we actually taped that. Nothing's as live as it looks nowadays. A lot of things aren't. Kimmel Show's gone back home, and we did that in New York City, tested everybody, brought them in, and shot at the City Winery, and we want to thank them for helping us out with that. This is a song Justin's probably best known for, and so we kind of had to record it.
Gonna cover me over. I'm not. drown. Dirty water's gonna cover me over, and I'm not gonna make a sound.
So, just a little on me here, so. Grief's a strange thing. It's different for everybody. And for me, this was different than when my dad passed away, or when Towns passed away, or Guy passed away. And you know, Guy and Susanna Clark did kind of finish raising me. I was only 19 when I got to Nashville, so Guy was a big deal. And it's about your perceptions of people. But when it's somebody that's way too young, it's hard enough. And it was hard for a lot of people. And losing Justin, but I don't know. You know, they'll say, people say that that you're just not supposed to, nobody should have to bury a child. But the truth is, people do it every single day. And so I try not to think of it that way, because you know, I'm not the first person that ever went through this, and I have ways of dealing with it. The third day, I did nothing but hurt for a couple of days. Kind of in shock for a day, in excruciating pain for a day, and the third day everything still hurt. But I got up and I picked up a guitar and I wrote two verses of this, and I wrote normally. It doesn't take me more than a day to write a song, but this one I had to kind of take another run at it on the third day to write the third verse. But this record's got 10 Psalms of Justice. And I don't know. I hadn't decided to make a record of Justin Psalms when I wrote this. I didn't know. I was just doing it for me, like I said. This is called Last Words.
I was there when you were born, took you from your mama's arms, stood in awe. Witness to the first breath that you ever drew. I wish I could held you in. You left this world like I did then. Last time we spoke was on the phone. Hung up, now you're gone. Last thing I said was, I love you. Your last words to me were, I love you so bad. Just know you did. It makes me sad. Said everything I knew to say. Could not make it go away. Wherever you traveling now, doesn't matter anyhow. Can't help but wonder if you knew you took a last thing I said was, I love you. Your last words to me were, I love you.
There, cowboy.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
My tuner is not working for some reason, so we're gonna see how this goes. I'm not a bluegrasser, so don't expect it to be in perfect tune.
How many times have you fallen in love? Has your heart ever truly been full or just full enough? Aren't you tired of telling yourself that one day I'll forget her? Aren't you tired of starting fires and burning pictures? Now the last one that left, you swore you'd never forget. Said no matter where she goes in life, she'll always be your first in a long line of regrets. And I doubt right now you even recall her name. That's another girl's picture lying in that pile of busted picture frames. And everyone who walks out takes a bit more of you with her. And you're still starting fires and burning pictures. You'll have a new love. starting fires and burning pictures.
Something bad happening? Ah, of course it's not working now. I think it's a bad, well, no. I don't know. Can I just unplug? This is technical difficulties. It happens all the time. Gremlins that follow me around. I don't need gremlins either. I can screw everything up just as fine by myself. Luckily, I have a wonderful wife that follows me around these days and picks up my messes. And so that's debilitating and wonderful at the same time. All right, let's try a bit slower of a song and see how it works. And a song about knowing that you're going somewhere, leaving a place that you love and not wanting to leave, but realizing that you are going to come back someday, just not how you want to, maybe.
Staying up too late, booked onto pieces page by page, and nothing learned and nothing gained. But I've got nowhere to go. There's threats on the city and the bridges are closed. Yesterday fell a full foot of snow, a slate black sky and a bright white glow. But I've been thinking of going west, just to climb up as high as I can get, press my souls to paths great men set, push me right to the edge. And I know inside I'll find my way back to this city some night. Feel the ground shake as a train goes by. Not one star in the sky, babe. Said the Midtown tunnel's open, so let's ride. But I say, darling, I just don't feel much like going to Brooklyn tonight. Try and sleep and lay me down and just try to breathe. Count each time that my heart skips a beat. Not one light in the house, but what comes in from the street.
Weird ending. I forget how my songs end. Guy Clark told me if you forget how a song ends, just to put a blues lick on the end of it, which so far has worked out very well for me. Because people were giving me a bunch of hell about not being able to remember my older songs. And it's like, well, I have made 6 records with my 7th record coming out this year. I'd like to see you remember that. It's like, do you remember the last 7 years of exactly what you did at work? I don't either. Oh, I know what we'll do. This will be... I wrote this next song to be a duet and couldn't get who I wrote it for, so it didn't... it ceased to be a duet.
Is coming on now. Do I seek shelter? Do I breast the storm? Just 2 fools out in the rain. Happy to be together now. We're just 2 strangers at a bus stop talking about the weather. Worried about the weather. Will you love me, baby? Will you love me, baby? Now it don't take a twister, no, not to wreck a home. Oh no, don't take a night to feel like you're in the dark and on your own. Now the rain just started, so the river's gonna rise, and there you stand on your side, baby, and here I stand on mine, baby, now. Thunderstorms and winds out of the west make a day feel like one long night. So there's no use in waiting for the weather to change. Now it might change tomorrow. It might never, never be the same. Worried, baby, worried about the weather. I say worried, worried about the weather. Whether you'll love me, babe, whether you'll love me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
I'm glad this isn't one of the ones where they say, don't acknowledge the crowd. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you not acknowledge the crowd? It's like, have you seen one of my shows? I acknowledge the crowd. I may not take requests. And if you get too loud, I'll embarrass you. Yes, I will. So So let's see. There's a... This song is, I'm at first must say, is not about my wife. I wrote it before I met my wife. It's, for some reason, the press keeps writing that this song is about my wife and that picture in a drawer is about my mother dying. And my mother is alive and well, I guarantee you, and driving me insane. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I don't need that for this. This thing's doing pretty good. It's very new, so I'm very surprised.
When I was young, I was free to go. I didn't need nobody. I just traveled alone. I'd pick up a few things, slip off into the night, baby. Go. These days my baby drives. My baby drives me to work on Sundays. Take me to see my mama every other Monday. Some might say I'm the luckiest man alive. No,
thank you. It's early for me. It's usually not, but I've been writing a lot recently and not writing songs, and so it's been a lot of late nights because I also, my brain can work on writing more than if I don't have to play guitar. Let's do, I wrote this song not necessarily for Billie Holiday, but everybody knows the story of Billie Holiday. Everybody always starts that story with one of two ways, either a great singer that was a junkie or a junkie that was a great singer, and everybody already knows that. If you don't know that already, then you don't deserve to know that already. And so, but people forget that at one point she was a little girl. You know, she was a little girl who was not a drug addict, and she was just a little girl from Baltimore that really never had a chance. So I think that this is for absolutely one of the most misunderstood figures in music history, except maybe Rocky Erickson.
She been around tonight. Give a call if she should happen by. Cause it's been at least a week now since last time I seen her. White dress, white shoes, white gardenias. Maybe she went back to Baltimore. That she packed her bags the night before. Took a taxi down to Lexan 44th. To take me back to Baltimore. Yeah, cause long ago she left her heart there when she could not stop the bleeding. White dress, white shoes, white gardenias.
And if you back that up with the idea that just playing those great songs in your great live band is enough reward for you, then you're f***ing set. But you gotta be badass. You just have to be really good.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hi, welcome to the 13th Floor. I'm Marty Duda, and today we're really excited to have Justin Towns Earl coming around to play a song and have a chat.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, we saw your show last night at the Tuning Fork. It was fantastic. It was great to see you with a band playing with the Sadies. It was.
It's fun to play with that band.
Yeah, I could tell. I mean, just when they came on, because they were the opening act as well, it felt like, oh, here's a real rock and roll band. That you know, they had the kind of nudie suits and stuff, but they looked like a band, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody always. How did you manage to connect with them?
We've known each other for maybe, you know, 12, 13 years, something like that. We met. We actually met through a very, very much mutual love of marijuana, and then it kind of went from there. And we were always kind of looking, you know, toying with the idea of working together. And when this popped up, they happened to have a record coming out at the same time that I had one coming out, and they were, we have the same booking agent,
right?
And so it finally worked out after all those years.
Yeah.
And I wish I wish it was something that we could have done before, because it changes the whole way of. I've had various different bands over time, and it's each one was fun, but there's something more freeing about being in front of these guys. I don't have to worry about a single thing that they're going to do behind me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I just get to be the front man, and
yep.
That's, you know, as somebody performs solo most of the time, that's not what you get to do. Yeah, you're the front man, but you're holding the rhythm, the beat, the putting all the notes in, you're singing, you're doing it all, and. And so it's nice to be able to, you know, you'll notice sometimes I just take my hands off my guitar and just I'm just like, hey, you know, because I can.
Right, right. So does it, I wanted to ask you if having a band behind you like that, especially one that you have such faith in, affects your performance as far as vocals and all that stuff, and just in terms of how you deliver your thing.
I think it definitely will make you a better singer. You just know when you know that, like, they're gonna be there. You know that they're gonna be where they're supposed to be. It's a lot easier for you to be there because you're not worried about it. Like on songs like "White Gardenias," you know, every band that I've had before the Saeties, there's a point, but right before the last verse, where everything just stops.
Right.
And I come back in by myself. every band I've had before that, the drummer had to count two, three, click, click, click. And that, they don't at all. Like, they, and the drummer, if you notice, Sean and Mike don't even look at each other. They just fall in at the right spot.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing. Yeah. It really is.
Were you ever in a band in your early days before you were solo?
Yeah, I had various bands. I mean, I had punk rock bands when I was real young.
That's what I figured it was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, but by the time I was 15, you know, 15, 16 years old especially, I was fully committed into like the more old-timey music scene. Had a band called The Swindlers and Nashville for a while with a couple friends, but that was kind of the end of it for me because I was going to be a solo artist after that because I did not like the democracy
right, hey.
Of it all. I mean, it's like it was having to deal with. I knew one thing is I didn't want to play the other guy's songs.
Right.
You know, I just and I'm not a player. I don't, you know, I'm not one of those guys people ask me to get up on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, and I always tell them, it's like, I'll get up and sing. It's like, I know that the way that I play guitar is like looks fancy, but it's like, I don't know mathematically what I'm doing. So if you tell me, oh, this is in G and it's a 1-4 minor 3-5, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
None.
Well, yeah, I suppose it makes a big difference as far as, you know, how you approach what you're going to do and whatever. So, yeah. The Kids in the Street album, it's been out for a little while now. You recorded this in Nashville, did you?
No, I recorded this one in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was a big departure, and it was something that was... I worked with Mike Mogus, so right. He owns his own studio, Arc Recording Studios in Omaha, and he doesn't right. really... In years before he had that studio, he'd work pretty much wherever, but now that right. he's got his place, and it's in his backyard, so... He gets to eat dinner with the kids at night and stuff when he records. And yeah, so it was... I made this record in a studio with a producer I didn't know and with players that I did not know. Like, except for one, I brought Paul Niehaus with me.
Yeah.
He goes everywhere with me.
Yeah, man, a wise choice. He was awesome last night again.
Absolutely.
So and having different people that you don't know playing on that thing, how does that affect your... recording process? And
it makes it strange. I mean, I will say after the first day of recording, me and there's a guest house where the band from out of town stays, so staying, and there was just me and Paul, and there was a discussion around the table of oh my, I don't know if this is gonna work, I don't know, like, what are we gonna be, blah, blah, blah. But you know, but it was also too. I mean, you get used to recording in Nashville. You get used to this idea. It's just like, well, yeah, bring that guitar player over. If he doesn't work, I know 100 other guys we can call.
Right.
And we were recording in a place where there was not two other guys to call, much less 100.
Right.
And so yeah, it was a definite uneasy feeling that came with it. But it's like you had to just kind of, you know, plant your feet and dive in as much as you could, and it was and it turned out great. Just working with everybody was really good. I did have to do a lot of direction as far as like well, I'll tell you this, me and Mike have different sources of music. You know, he's more of he's your indie kid.
Right.
You know, he's your total indie kid, and even though he's older than me. But, you know, he was the original of the original indie kids.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm very much traditionalist. So, you know, it's like we could talk about Husker Du, yes. But now, but when I brought up Eddie Hinton, right. Now I needed to go dig up that record to
yeah.
play it.
Yeah.
You know, but then there was a lot of stuff that he... you know, would bring up to me that I was just like, I've never heard of that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a real, real interesting thing, yeah.
All right. Now, one of the things that you touched on last night, probably the most intense moment of the show, was when you were introducing white gardenias and you were referring to the heroin epidemic that's happening in the U.S., and you made quite impassioned few comments about, you know, instead of placing blame, to kind of have some compassion for these people that are being affected by this. And I know pretty much everyone who knows you knows that you were been through all that back in the 90s as well. And I was just wondering if you wanted to elaborate more on that, because it's not really here. The drug problem is more of a meth thing than
right.
than a heroin thing at the moment, but it's still a thing, you know.
Yeah,
and I have a feeling the root causes are universal.
Yeah, they're the same. No matter what the drug is, you know, the what gets you there is the same. The results of what happens after you use the drug is the only difference. I mean, it's in the States where, you know, Australia has a big heroin problem, and so I think that it's like I've realized that England has a big heroin problem, everywhere. Sweden has a big heroin problem. It's all kind of just gone everywhere, and it's just the reason that I think I've gotten so up in arms about it now is just like, is now we're lying to people, to kids even more.
Right.
Because when they do heroin, they're not doing heroin. They're doing maybe a 10% of heroin mixed with fentanyl.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, I'm so glad I went through what I did in the 90s when we had real dope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I've never been any kind of drug user, but I've always believed that they should be legalized. And that's one of the reasons, is because at least you know what you're getting and you can control it. And
exactly.
I mean, people are going to do what people are going to do. It's like with cigarettes. It would be ridiculous to try and outlaw cigarette smoking and just turn it into a black market industry.
Absolutely. Well, it's like the marijuana industry in Oregon, where I live. They have found that less kids or less teenagers are smoking weed now because it's okay to do it. It's okay, so it's not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
<You know?
laughs> Oh, man. Now, you're going to perform a song for us, and it's not one that's on the album. In fact, it's a cover.
Yeah, it's actually buried in the album.
Is it?
In the CD. It's not. It's not listed.
You haven't put it as a third track or a
it
extra
is.
Track
it's,
on
it's
the vinyl.
It's buried in the CD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only it's digitally encoded in there somehow.
Excellent. And it's a Paul Simon song.
Yes.
And you mentioned in your show last night that one of the reasons that you like to record it or like to play it is because you feel that it is kind of disrespected over the years by certain people. What do you mean by that?
Well, like the people like. Like people that grew up like Mogus and all his, like the guys that he came up with, you know, my friends too. I mean, it's like you grow up like when we were, well, I mean, when I was a kid, it was like try being, you were just inundated with that, in the Graceland record. It was just everywhere. It was on TV. It was on commercial. I mean, it was everywhere. Paul Simon was huge. And I think that for some reason there was people like looked at that record as I think the especially like the rockers and the blues guys looked at it as world music or something like that, and it's so far from that. You know, it happens to have an African band on it, but I'll be damned if you can throw that in the slot with world music. Mm. It's he's just, what he did was he went deeper into, basically deeper into the graveyard, and he dug up the bodies, you know, that all the way down into the South, and then took what was brought to the South and dug it all the way back up in Africa.
Yeah.
Realize that all those rhythms that we deal with are just bastardized versions of something that they came up with before us.
Very cool. Well, we'll give a listen to your version of it. Anything, have you got anything else coming up, plans recording-wise or anything?
Not recording just yet. Just we still got all pretty much all next year on this, you know, on this tour. We're going to take the deep winter off, and then festival season starts up in the spring in the States. So it'll be always moving. But I'll have to have another. I'll write another record soon. Started working on it, but it's going to be a while.
Alrighty. Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the Mississippi Delta is shining like a national guitar. I'm following the highway down the river through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Oh boy, pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. In been my traveling companion these 9 years old, and he's the child of my first marriage. And I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. Comes back and tells me she's gone now. As if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed. I'd never notice the way she combs her hair off her forehead. She says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart, and everybody sees the wind blowing. Whoa, 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 Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. Traveling companions, ghosts and empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts of empties. Reasons I cannot explain. There's some part of me wants to see Graceland. Now there's a girl in New York City. Well, she calls herself the human trampoline. Whenever I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I see her, so this is what she means. And she means we're bouncing into Graceland. And she says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart, and everybody sees the wind blowing. I'm going to Graceland. I may be obliged to defend every love and every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. Reason I cannot explain. There's some part of me wants to see Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland.
When you walk into a club and you see a band that blows you away, you are going to follow that band. You're going to either buy their CD, or you're going to find them online, or you're going to see them the next time they come to play. You don't have to stand in line at the song contest on TV to become a f***ing popular musician.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, Hamilton's alternative.
I think it starts with Brando in The Wild One. The famous line for that, of course, was, "What are you rebelling against?" And Brando turns to the camera and says, "What do you got?"
You're listening to Steel City Music.